Live from the Geyer Studio, where combatants battle for the glory of cinema, with your host, DJ Ace, this is Cinema Wars!
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 3 of Cinema Wars! You may notice that I am in fact not Aaron Eno, and that's because I'm Brad Roberts and I am hosting today's Cinema Wars. The question, what is the greatest sports movie of all time? Joining me today, Lindsey Graff, Andrew Dunlap, and the man himself, Aaron Eno.
Hello.
How's it going?
How's it going, guys? You ready for this?
Yeah.
We've already done this.
Okay.
Let's find out. All right. And that's the order. So, Lindsey, what's your pick?
My pick is Remember the Titans.
Ooh. All right. Andrew?
Well, looks like I'm going to be slaying the Titans like the Greek gods tonight.
Ooh.
Whoa. Throwing shade here.
Already. Save it for the argument phase.
Well, anyway, mine focuses on the blind side.
Ooh. Blind side. Okay.
All right.
The only sports movie that matters, Space Jam.
Oh.
We're going there, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right. It just happened. Let the argument begin.
Oh, man.
Well, explanation.
Oh.
Yeah.
Reasoning. Reasoning
all right.
First.
All right. Reasoning. What's your reasoning behind?
All right. My reasoning behind Remember the Titans. It's like any sports movie except like 10 times more recognizable. I mean, it's got all of the classic sports things. It's lots of heart. Usually they're underdog stories. But this one invokes like so many feelings. Because one, like it's bringing some newer stuff to the table, including the fact that every character that has a name goes through a character arc. Every single character, including the main coaches and the people, like everyone does. And there are consequences for the actions that people take, which often are not shown in underdog stories. Like, for instance, at one point, and I'll get into this later, but at one point, like one of the characters leaves in the middle of a game, like one of the players leaves in the middle of a game. When he comes back for the championship game, he's like, I want to play. And the coach doesn't let him. There's consequences for that. That in other underdog movies, maybe they would have just let the guy play without even addressing that. So that's something that's reflects real life. And then just the whole overcoming racism part of it. Like, it was really not seen very often at the time that this movie was introduced. And it was done so well that other sports movies and movies in general have tried to imitate that in the years following that. So, but to reiterate, the feelings it makes you feel.
Andrew, what about you?
Well, basically, Blind Side is about a guy who is basically given a second chance at life with a family that's willing to sort of adopt him as a who's been bouncing back and forth from foster home to foster home, and finds his talent in football through the idea of protecting his family, and he ends up as the 23rd pick in the 2009 NFL draft. That's how the story ends. The entire movie is based on his journey. How he was struggling in his early life and entering this Christian high school. Then meets this family that's willing to help him and accepts him for who he is. And then becomes successful at what he does and becomes a pro star. And guess where he is now? Offensive lineman for the Carolina Panthers.
All right. Aaron Eno.
What's up? All right. It's weird being on the other side of the table. All right.
Hello,
don't think I'm...
All right. Space Jam. All right. Space Jam.
Just heads up. Yeah. Don't think I'm going to go easy on you just because...
No, I don't want you to.
Okay.
It wouldn't be fair.
We are going to rip
beware,
you a new one,
beware
man.
The wrath of Bugs Bunny, apparently.
I deserve some retribution. All right.
Retribution for what?
For all the things I've done.
Okay. Explain.
Okay. Space Jam came out in 96. Michael Jordan saves Looney Tunes. Come on, people. Your movie gives you the feels. It's Looney Tunes, man. Looney Tunes. So basically the whole plot of this movie is that Michael Jordan retires from basketball for whatever reason and decides to try baseball, and it's hilarious. Where the catcher is like sitting there telling him what to do because he's so bad at it. And then the Looney Tunes land is in danger from like these space aliens. Like they're like this guy runs an amusement park in space and he's going to capture the Looney Tunes to make his amusement park more profitable.
As you do.
Yep. And then the Looney Tunes come up with a plan and they challenge him to a game of basketball, but their aliens suck the skill from popular basketball players and turn into these giant monsters. And then so the Looney Tunes have to. They basically abduct Michael Jordan to play for them.
Through a golf hole.
I'm fixing a divot. So Michael Jordan has to proceed to teach the Looney Tunes how to play basketball and save Toonland.
Interesting.
From aliens.
Interesting. Right. We got two stories versus a reality bender.
How do you know it's not true?
Well, we've seen the contestants. We've seen what they'll be using to fight each other. Let the games begin.
The games, bro.
Okay, I'm going to argue something against, as much as I love Space Jam, and I love Space Jam, I have to say, like, the fact that both of mine and Andrew's stories are based on a true story, so there's a real element to it, it's original, I guess, is what you can say. It's an original story. All of these are, because they actually happened. They weren't ripped off from something. They weren't based on assumptions or anything like that. Looney Tunes, and this isn't even like talking about how Looney Tunes isn't real. It's more about how the novelty of that movie was the fact that you saw cartoon characters that you know and love alongside real actors. But
actors. They're all basketball players. None of them are actors.
Okay, well, but
Michael Jordan is pretty good, man.
Well, okay, but the thing I was getting at, I mean, Bill Murray is in there.
Yeah,
but,
Bill Murray is great.
The thing that I was getting at is this movie is not, this movie is not by far the first movie that has done this, or even the first movie that has done this well. It's ripping off Who Framed Roger Rabbit. With characters that we are nostalgic about.
Oh, she just threw. Yeah. She just threw it.
It's just Roger Rabbit with basketball.
Except better. Dude, whatever the freak it is weird. All right, it's freaking weird.
Do not diss my favorite childhood movie, man. Do not.
If you go back and watch that as an adult, it's weird.
It's got Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny in it.
And Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah, that's where Jessica Rabbit comes in.
All right. Before, might I interrupt by adding something to my movie about we got a success. I got a lovely, successful actress on my side named Sandra Bullock. Thanks to her performance as Leanne Toffy, the mother of the family that took in Michael Orr, the famous football player, and Sandra Bullock became. Won the award for Best Actress in the Academy Awards, and the movie was nominated for Best Picture of that time. It's one of the biggest successful movies that ever came out in the world of sports, and reality wise, looking at me with a confused expression.
No, I'm just thinking.
Whoa.
Well, here's the problem with that, all right? The Oscars will nominate whatever the heck they want to, regardless if it's successful or not. So I don't really see that as a viable point.
It's gotten over $3 million from their DVDs.
From their DVDs. Wow.
All right. Box office. Well, if we're talking about success, you have to think. Remember the Titans? I'm looking at it on Wikipedia right now. The box office in the first weekend that it opened... It earned $26 million in the first weekend, and it was in the top five for 6 weeks. And it's got, like, really generally very good reviews from critics and audiences alike. And it's one of those movies that is very...
What's the number again?
It is $26,654,715.
$34,510,000.
But is that in the first weekend?
Yes.
All right.
The only thing that eclipsed it, that eclipsed it in that weekend was, unfortunately, Twilight Saga: New Moon.
Okay, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. Remember the Titans came out way, way, way before The Blind Side. Now, what do you think if Remember the Titans hadn't been so successful, so memorable, and so well-received, that a movie about football and overcoming these obstacles would have had such a great response?
I feel like if anyone could have made a movie about overcoming the odds based on a true story, but in the world of football, Remember the Titans is probably one of the first ones that come to mind and make that fire the first shot. It was probably would have been anyone else. They just did it first.
All right, here's the thing about Space Jam, though. Space Jam is like super classic, all right? People are more likely to watch Space Jam than true story based movies. Like, let's be real here. It's
kids.
Funny and exciting. No.
Kids are more likely to watch.
Think about it. This movie came out in 96, so all the people that watched it as a kid, they still watch it as adults, man, because it's that memorable.
Yeah, okay, but is this a debate on which movie is most likely to be rewatched, or is this a debate on which movie is the best?
It's a reason why it's better. It's memorable. I don't even remember your movie.
Just because
it's memorable.
Just because it's more memorable doesn't mean it's the best. One of the best scenes that happens in The Blind Side is where is when the first game of the season. Michael Orr is the offensive lineman going up against this DN stereotypical racist redneck type of player. He gets a couple sacks and yells at him all day. And even the refs are kind of on their side. Even when the player kicks him in the head. Even when that player kicks him in the head, coach stands up for him, and then Michael Orr realizes the football team is also my family. I must protect them. And that's where his protective instincts come in, and he takes that racist football player, sends him out of the football field and over a fence. And when the coach asked him, where were you taking him? He said, to the bus. He had to go home.
All right, well, here's the thing. Every sports movie ever has memorable moments, all right?
Oh, yeah.
And mine is, like, super cool because
the best moment is probably when Michael Jordan stretches his arm out 20 yards
long. No, that's not the best moment. That's just comical. No, what the best moment is when they're playing the game against the Monsters.
Monstars, whatever.
And they're up against them, and then they come up with Michael's special drink or whatever, and they drink it, and they're like winning, and then they start losing again.
You might as well just call it steroids.
Michael, we need more of this special juice. And then he's like, guys, it's just water. You had it in you all the time, so let's get out there and do this thing. You know,
and then they chicken.
It's a great moment.
As soon as they realize that,
then he wins the game.
If we're talking about great moments, though, I'm going to tie this in with the idea that my movie, every character that has a name goes through a character arc, which is really impressive. But because racism is so rampant in this town, in this small town, in this time that this is happening, you see it all throughout the society in this town. And one of the characters' mothers, one of the football player's mother, at one point, the football players have all come together as a family at this point, and they're all like, seeing past color, seeing past race, and just seeing into the content of people's characters. And he wants to go play basketball with his friend, and his mother's like, no, you're not going to go play with this kid. And he's like, you don't even know him. And she's like, I don't want to know him. By the end of the movie, this character gets in, well, spoilers, I mean, for a 1990s movie. I'm not done though. Character gets into a car crash and is seriously injured. And his friend who he was going to play basketball with at that one point, they're like brothers at this point. And he gets to the hospital and he's crying when he finds out about his friend. He goes up to the mother and they hug. And it's just, it shows how far the character goes. And they started out as the two, like, characters that were butting heads, the two main characters, the main character of the black people, the main character of the white people. And by this point in the movie, when he walks in to the hospital room, because the guy, Gary, who got into a car accident, he's like, people are like, Gary only wants to see you. He only wants to see you. So he walks into the hospital room, and the nurse looks at him and says, only family is allowed in here. And Gary goes, are you blind? That's my brother. And that moment is just so powerful because it shows how far the characters have come and how far they're willing to go for each other now.
I'm going to stop you right there because my characters all have development, especially the family that takes them in. The eldest daughter was kind of like, okay, there's a big black guy living with us now for 2 years. Okay. She ends up becoming more and more sociable with him. In even one scene, she's hanging out at the library with her friends, sees Michael Orr sitting all by his lonesome. She gets up, and talks to him, and starts studying with him. And then the youngest one, SJ, is basically parading around Michael Orr. Yeah, he's my older brother. The young white Irish little boy is like got a big black brother. that picture is funny on so many levels. And then the biggest development is Sandra Bullock's character, Leanne, as she learns Michael Orr more and more about how his mother was a crack user. He's kind of homeless. When they first talked to him, he was planning on spending a rainy night in the gym even though the doors were already locked. And that's when they offered to take him in. But until the end of the movie, they realized when Michael was finally getting offers to go to colleges, we forgot to tell him that he can go wherever he wanted, and that's where the main plot of the movie comes in, where the NCAA comes in and says, "We believe the family that was born and raised by Old Miss tried to force you to go to Old Miss, but she realized her error of ways and apologized, and then said to him, even if you wanted to go to Tennessee." But which she hated, she would go to every single game, but you will not make me wear that shirt.
For the record, Michael Jordan had a character arc too. He did not. All he did was just get dragged down there and he said, okay,
let's play basketball. No, that's all that happened.
He realized he retired from basketball and then tried playing baseball and he realized it was a horrible mistake. And so at the end of the movie, he's playing basketball again like he should have been in the first place.
He gets dragged into playing basketball. And then he's like, okay. As soon as they say, hey, you want to play basketball?
2 minute warning, guys.
All right. Well, to bring up a different topic, because all three of our movies have had some impact on popular culture and just American society in general.
They're making a sequel of Space Jam.
Okay.
Let's talk about that then.
Let's talk about, because my movie, even though some people haven't seen my movie, there's so many aspects of it that people know, even without seeing the movie. They know We Are the Titans, the Mighty Mighty Titans. They at least know that song, because that, like, I mentioned this last time, but in Frosted Flakes, even, like, they had a campaign series where they did We Are the Tigers, the Mighty Mighty Tigers, and it was all about kids doing awesome things in sports, which is the core of what my movie is about. And other than that, you know, the na-na-na-na, hey, goodbye, that song. That, like, everyone knows that. Everyone has heard that at some point in their life.
I'm gonna. I know where you're going with this, and I'm calling bull crap. There's no way they came up with that chant. That was just a chant that fan.
I have never heard it anywhere else ever, in my life.
Just because it came from the movie doesn't mean it didn't. It's never been chanted before.
It doesn't necessarily mean that they made it up, but they popularized it. They are the ones that are remembered when people sing those chants.
How much do you remember in the 1990s?
We were like four.
Exactly. How do you know if it even came? How do you even know if it came before?
What?
It popularized it. Because there's the fact that we know it, even though we were four in the 90s. Maybe it was reiterated. Maybe it existed somewhere else. I have never heard of it existing somewhere else.
Because you don't focus too much on sports when you're four.
All right. Final thoughts, guys. Three sentences or less. Why is your movie the best, Lindsay?
Okay, my movie is the best because it is very, very memorable. It overcomes racism in that, like, everyone has a character arc, and I don't care what you say. They popularized those things. They did. Everyone remembers those chants from Remember the Titans. You will remember the day that you played the Titans.
Pretty sure that's one of the three sentences.
Andrew, same thing. What's up?
One Mississippi. The whole arc made offensive line probably more valuable than they are right before, thanks to that movie in the NFL. Two Mississippi. They got national attention for one of the best players in the game. I'm gonna say yes, he had an off year a couple years
in a row.
Yeah, because he was battling an injury, but he at the time. Three Mississippi. It also smashes racism to bits, especially with the idea of protecting your loved ones. When Michael Orr was at his old hangout, one of his friends was talking about how he wanted to bang the white woman who brought him in and his daughter, and he beat the hell out of him.
Okay. All right. Solid points. Aaron?
I'm fixing a divot.
Is that it?
That's it.
Really?
All right. Well, it was a hard-fought battle, guys. You all did very well. I understand what you mean when you say it's hard to choose, Aaron.
I know,
it's
right?
Not easy.
I know.
But there can only be one, and that one is Remember the Titans. Congratulations,
Yay!
Lindsay.
Yay!
Well fought, everybody.
Good job, everybody. Right.
That
They're
was
all great movies.
That was episode 3 of Cinema Wars. I am your host for this episode, Brad Roberts. Tune in next week when we'll have more awesomeness right here on Cinema Central.
The battle is done, but the war is far from over. Tune in next week for the next engagement here on Cinema Central.